January 6th of last year, 2012, but it was the first time that I spoke. It's the first time I ever walked in the building. We were meeting over in the chapel over there, and I spoke about the peace of the Lord and covering anxiety and repenting of anxiety into belief and into the place of peaceful rest and faith. And walking in that morning, I had a sense that I was breaking into a new season, that there was something new happening. And I have a sense this morning that it's almost like bookends, that I feel like just me speaking here this morning is some, I don't know what that means as far as anything, but maybe just simply a season in the Spirit for Embassy Church that's being sealed. And just talking about the baptism next week, I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great to like take the whole church building and all of us and just like take us all through the pool? You know, like, wouldn't it be great if there was a baptismal pool big enough that would just, like, we could all just, like, jump in there together and just do one brand, like, new spanking, new beginning, right? But I feel like God has done that in the Spirit, and I feel like I've watched the Lord do that in the past year and a half that I've been here, that God has done just such beautiful things here at NBC Church. And I could feel his anointing flowing. It's just this morning, the Holy Spirit was here with us as we were worshiping. He's still here. And so I love living in the church too. Those of you guys that don't know, Kim and I and our kids, we live in that up there. We moved in as house parents of YWAM. And a couple of things that I love about living here is because I know the history of this church was birthed in the early 1900s. It was birthed out of a bunch of families that dared to believe that Acts 2 was real. And they waited and prayed together for years until the fire fell. And as I look at this building, this structure has manifested out of the faith of those families. And I look at every one of these bricks, and every one of these bricks represents a prayer. It was a prayer meeting. It was another tear. It was another cry. It was another song. Believing God that Acts 2 was real. But last night I couldn't sleep, and so I was up, and I walked over here in the main sanctuary, and it's just plenty of room to pace and pray. And as I was looking at these bricks, suddenly I realized they're not just prayers, that these bricks, each one of them, represents a prayer that's been answered. Because the Holy Spirit poured himself out on those people. On those families. Because of that, boom, the church exploded over the next couple of decades. Eventually, they were moving from building to building to building and eventually bought this tract of land and built this building. But the foundation of it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just a prayer meeting. It was a prayer meeting answered. Our Father answered those prayers. So now I look at these bricks and I'm thinking, Father answered, Father answered, Father answered, Father answered. And I'm looking around this room and I'm thinking, okay, there's probably thousands of people that have been healed, set free, delivered, saved in this building and in the history of this church over the last 110 years. And I just believe today that God is like a prophetic message to you, is that God, the same God that heard those prayers, of those families, hear our prayers. And he will surely answer. He will surely answer. And what I love about living in the building is that I'm literally resting every night. I am sleeping under the covering of the answered prayers of my spiritual ancestors. I am living under the roof of my spiritual ancestors, that I am literally living in the provision of God that has come through their answered prayers. Isn't that awesome? Like, you know, you quote Psalms 23 all your life, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and you never think that someday you might actually live in a church. Well, here we are, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but our Father's house is what? A house of prayer for all nations. Where all nations, it says in Isaiah, what is it, Isaiah 56? All nations will find joy in the house of prayer. Woo! Yip, yip, yip! Yeah! Hey, we're going to find joy in the house of prayer. This morning, and you know, as a community, we've been, God has for me personally, and then I think out of, I mean, all of us, God has spoken to us about building the house of prayer from the core. Obviously, each one of us, when we talk about the house of prayer, it's us. It's people, right? So building the house of prayer from the bottom of our souls, from the gut level place with the Lord. And building, you have to build houses from the foundation, right? From the foundation up, building that house. And so if the house of prayer is our Father's house, and if Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, and Jesus said zeal, or the disciples, when they saw Jesus, he cleaned out the temple. Remember that? With the whip, the disciples, they remembered, zeal for my house consumes me. That Jesus, the zeal for his Father's house absolutely ate him up in the inside. I just got to be in my Father's house. And so there's been people that have, there was this one gal in our team, our community several years ago. She had just joined us. She sat down with me. She said, Jason, I'm new to this house of prayer thing. I want to know, what is the currency of prayer? Like, in the economy of prayer, what are the dollar bills? What makes prayer work? And oftentimes, I think one of the big ones is faith. Obviously, you don't pray if you don't believe that God's going to do anything. Like, most people, it's not the fact that they don't pray. It's that they stop believing. And so, if you don't really think that God hears you at all, then who gives two hoots about spending time talking with him, right? And if you don't believe that he's going to actually act and do something according to who he is and his promises, then of course you're going to stop praying, right? So a lot of people, but I actually think there's another currency that may be the other side of the coin or the other side of the dollar bill of prayer. And the secret I found, I think, is in this little book. It's not the Bible. It's not the Bible. So, but I'm going to read you this little children's book. It's called The Empty Pot. And this, there was a couple years ago, 2009 was a bad year for the Hershey family. It was a rough year, you know. It was one of those years of massive pruning, crazy stuff was happening. I end up back in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, going to my local Hershey's Mennonite church. My ancestors planted it hundreds of years ago. And many might want to say the spiritual atmosphere was there a little bit stuffy and religious, whatever. I met with God that day. Like, praise God, like, you can meet with God anywhere, right? And this, there was, they had children's church, where they invite all the children up front, and then, they had something just for the children, in the midst of all the adults, still in the, anybody familiar with that type of children's church? Okay, children's church. So, having children's church. So, and of course, like, my dad was the pastor of that church, and he preached missions his whole life, and so, my whole generation all went to the missions field. And the church is like all senior citizens and no kids anymore. And so my children are like the only children up front. And the traveling missionary that was in to speak that day, his wife read this story. And I'm there weeping as she's reading this story. So here we go. You guys are ready for this story? The Empty Pot. If you guys have been around me before, you YWAMers, you're going to hear this again. May there be fresh revelation for you today. A long time ago in China, there was a boy named Ping who loved flowers. Anything he planted burst into bloom. Up came flowers, bushes, and even big fruit trees as if by magic. Everyone in the kingdom loved flowers too. They planted them everywhere, and the air smelled like perfume. Fragrance of heaven, the prayers of the saints. I was like, prayer in here. The emperor loved birds and animals, but flowers most of all. And he tended his own garden every day. But the emperor was very old. He needed to choose a successor to the throne. Who would his successor be, and how would the emperor choose? Because the emperor loved flowers so much, he decided to let the flowers choose. The next day, a proclamation was issued. All the children in the land were to come to the palace. There they would be given special flower seeds by the emperor. Whoever can show me their best in a year's time, he said, will succeed me to the throne. Whoa. This news created great excitement throughout the land. Children from all over the country swarmed to the palace to get their flower seeds. All the parents wanted their children to be chosen emperor, and all the children hoped they would be chosen too. When Ping received his seed from the emperor, he was the happiest child of all. He was sure he could grow the most beautiful flower. Ping filled a flower pot with rich soil. He planted the seed in it very carefully. He watered it every day. He couldn't wait to see it sprout, grow, and blossom into a beautiful flower. Day after day passed, but nothing grew in his pot. Ping was very worried. He put new soil into a bigger pot. Then he transferred the seed into the rich black soil. Another 2 months he waited. Still nothing happened. By and by, the whole year passed. Spring came, and all the children put on their best clothes to greet the emperor. They rushed to the palace with their beautiful flowers, eagerly hoping to be chosen. Ping was ashamed of his empty pot. He thought the other children would laugh at him because for once he couldn't get a flower to grow. His clever friend ran by holding a great big plant. "Ping," he said, "you're not really going to the emperor with an empty pot, are you? Couldn't you grow a great big flower like mine?" "I've grown lots of flowers better than yours," Ping said. "It's just this seed won't grow." Ping's father overheard this and said, "You did your best, and your best is good enough to present to the emperor." Holding the empty pot in his hands, Ping went straight away to the palace. The emperor was looking at the flowers slowly, one by one. How beautiful all the flowers were, but the emperor was frowning and did not say a word. Finally, he came to Ping. Ping hung his head in shame, expecting to be punished. The emperor asked him, "Why did you bring an empty pot?" Ping started to cry, and he replied, "I planted the seed you gave me, and I watered it every day, but it didn't sprout. I put it in a better pot with better soil, but still it didn't sprout. I tended it all year long, but nothing grew. So today, I had to bring an empty pot without a flower. It was the best that I could do." When the emperor heard these words, a smile slowly spread over his face, and he put his arm around Ping. Then he exclaimed to one and all, "I have found him. I have found the one person worthy of being emperor. Where you got your seeds from, I do not know. For the seeds I gave you had all been cooked, so it was impossible for any of them to grow. I admire Ping's great courage to appear before me with the empty truth. And now I reward him with my entire kingdom and make him emperor of all the land." I think the currency of prayer is truth. For he desires truth in the innermost parts. Father desires us to be real with him. I love this verse in Luke 12:32. It says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I said in my heart years ago that I refuse to build a ministry in the charisma of men. And I refuse to build anything ever outside of the power of the Holy Spirit doing real work in the real hearts of people, setting us free, healing us, delivering us. And this is my empty pot prayer. We call it, in our community, "What is your empty pot prayer?" There's some empty pot prayers, some of the highlight reel of scriptures. Empty pot prayer was prayer of Jabez. Jabez, who was born to his mother in pain, and his mother, his name Jabez meant pain. Imagine if your name was Pain in the Neck. "Hey, Pain in the Neck, how you doing?" Like, his very name meant pain, and he cried out to the Lord, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed,
that you would enlarge my territory. God heard his prayer and answered his request. Empty pot, highlight reel. Job cries out to the Lord. He sits in sackcloth in his empty pot, and God gives him double for his trouble. Empty pot prayer, Hannah. She's weeping before, saying, I am barren. And this is my husband's other wife. She has children. I am barren. And she's muttering before the Lord in Samuel chapter 1. And it's a great story. And how about this? Hannah's empty pot prayer, her personal yearning before God, changed a nation. Samuel was born, and the word of the Lord returned to Israel because Hannah got real, came before the Father with her empty pot, and Hannah's empty pot prayer changed Israel. Samuel, her son, birthed out of the empty pot prayer, anoints not only Saul, but anoints David. And from the house and line of David comes Jesus, who will sit on David's throne for all of eternity because Hannah came to the Lord with her empty pot prayer. Hallelujah! The highlight reel of the Bible of when people come to the Lord with their empty pot. Son of David, have mercy on me. What do you want? I want to see. Oh. The empty pot prayers of the Bible that where people come to the Lord with their brokenness. They come and they begin to build Abba's house, the house of prayer, from the core. This is where it all begins. It's when we come to the Lord broken and honest before him. Amen? I want to tell you one of my empty pot prayers. Holy Spirit, I want your fire. I want your fire. Fire, I want you, fire. The same anointing that fell on those families in the early 1900s here in Washington, D.C., that eventually became this structure, this church, for so many people. Father, I want your fire. I want you to pour out your spirit once again. I want your manifest presence that not just the feelers and the seers in the room can see you, but that everybody undeniably knows that God is here. Whether they've been saved for their whole life, whether they grew up in the church, whether they have the anointing of a major seer, or whether they're broken and a drug addict that just came off the street, that they cannot deny that God is in this place. And I can't say that me and my ministry have it yet, but I'm yearning and I'm pressing on to the goal, saying I am believing for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's one of my empty pot prayers. Different ones of you probably have different empty pots. He, in this morning's message, I don't know the name. We'll get there in a second. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What can happen is over our lives, if we don't come to Father with our empty pot, if we don't come to the Lord with our empty pot, we could just begin to get irritated at the circumstances. And suddenly Hannah, rather than turning into a great prayer warrior that births a child that changes the nation, Hannah, if she doesn't come to the Lord, she just ends up being a bitter old woman that's barren, right? But see to it that no bitter root comes up, that in those places of brokenness, in those places of pain, in those places of rejection and abuse and just disappointment, things didn't turn out the way we expected, that in those moments we come to the Father with our empty pot and watch him begin to change nations. Watch him begin to change nations as we come to him with our empty pots. Isn't this glorious, you guys? Hallelujah. I believe that every one of us in this room, as we come to the Father with our empty pot, that we'll change nations. A couple weeks ago, highlight reel. The book of Ruth tells a story of Naomi, whose life had become so bitter after her husband and two sons had died that she requested others to change her name to Mara, which in Hebrew means bitter. Don't even call me Naomi, call me bitter. My life's bad. And as she cries out to God with her empty pot, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, that refuses to leave her, meets a man named Boaz. And out of that marriage comes, Obed, right? Jesse, and then David, the house and line of
Jesus, who will sit on his throne forever and ever. The highlight reel of heaven is amazing when it comes to people coming with their empty pot prayers. Deuteronomy 29:18 says this: make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such a bitter poison. Oh, we just want to come to the Father with our brokenness. And he'll teach us how to forgive those that hurt us. He'll teach us how to let go of those things. He'll teach us how to not make those inner vows that will destroy us forever, right? He'll teach us what it means. One of the prayers of our community that's been given to us is, Father, cleanse me of anything that takes me out of your house. Cleanse me. You know, leading training schools and training with YWAM for years, it is amazing how many times that little Susie or little Johnny, just at the time where the teacher is going into the point of the message that they need to hear the most, suddenly they have to go to the bathroom. Just the Sunday when it's a certain group of people that need to hear this message for their freedom and for their explosion of kingdom in their life, that's the Sunday that they go on their family vacation, right? Cleanse me. And it's almost like things manifest in us that cause us to leave the room, just as Father begins to pour out his love. The devil will do anything he can to get us out of Father's house right as the Father's about ready to set us free, right? And so, cleanse me, Father, of anything that takes me out of your house. 3 weeks ago, I don't know what the deal is, but I've been having crazy migraine headaches on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays. This is now, last night, the reason I couldn't sleep, I was just up late with this crazy headache. And 3 weeks ago when it started, I mean, it was excruciating. It was everything I could just to hold still. And I was up in my room up there. And finally, it began to lift. And suddenly I heard this phrase. It's from a song. Creator God, he is Yahweh. Right? If any of you heard that song. But there's this one line in that song that suddenly I just heard in my spirit. And it just set me free. And this was the phrase. He turns the bitter into sweet. He turns the bitter into sweet. Creator God, he is Yahweh. He turns the bitter into sweet. I want to look at this morning. This is our God that turns the bitter into sweet. Hey! Right? He takes our empty pot prayer and he changes nations with it. He takes our brokenness and actually uses that to heal whole people groups and cities. And hey, this is good stuff. Okay, a couple great stories. Now the men of the city said to Elisha, behold, the situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord sees. It's a good deal. But the water is bad and the land is unfruitful, he said. Bring me a new bowl. Everybody say, bring me a new bowl. Bring me a new bowl. Again, bring me a new bowl. Okay, God's going to bring us a new bowl here. Bring me a new bowl, Elisha said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went to the spring of water. He threw salt in it and said, thus says the Lord, I've healed this water. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it. So the water has been healed to this day according to the word that Elisha spoke. God turns the bitter into sweet. You guys, time and time and time again, God will bring sweet water from the very place. Maybe the toxic relationship, maybe it was the situation, the place, the group of people, whatever it is. That one town you don't want to go back to because there's painful memories with that place, he'll end up bringing fresh water from that very town. This is our God that turns our bitter into sweet, right? The loving Father wants us to rest in his amazing love and power to bring forth refreshing water from those very places of bitterness. I believe he's going to start doing it this week, you guys. You watch. I'm prophesying this message into our lives. Exodus 15, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. Everybody say, Shur. Sure he did. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They came to Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what tree shall we drink? So he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. I love that language. The Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, and I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is the first time that Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, that name shows up. I am the Lord that heals you. He is the God that turns bitter into sweet. I love this. And I love the fact that it was a tree. The cross of Calvary, the tree of Jesus, when we throw the tree that breaks every curse into the water, Jesus makes the difference and turns our bitter into sweet. Jesus, I plead your blood over that situation. By the power of the blood and in the name of Jesus, I forgive. I go back to that place where I said in my heart, I made an inner vow, I will never eat candy in public again because I had stolen from me the last time. And I go back to that place, and Jesus, I plead your blood over that, and I break that inner vow, and I say, no, I have the freedom to eat candy in public again, right? This is our Jesus, and by his power and by his blood and his name, we are set free and our bitter waters turn sweet. The problem with this thing, the irritation with this whole deal is, and then Moses makes a statute for them that says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you. Okay, who's done that? Which one of us could say that we've kept all the statutes and all the commandments of the Lord? None of us. So we're all under a curse. This is a problem, you guys. With our children, as we've had our children at different times, obviously we didn't have them all at the same time. With each one of them, God has given me like a phrase or a thought of his truth that's kind of accentuated the anointing that I believe that child will have. And like when Blaze was first born, he came out of the womb in that moment of birth. I saw I had a boy. I didn't know we were having a boy ahead of time. I saw I had a boy, and out of my mouth came, the Lord has given me strength. And if you've met Blaze, my second son, he is a strong-willed, athletic, strong, young man. He has always been a Samson in his strength with everything, right? And so with Pillar, she was born here in the church a couple weeks ago. And I didn't have anything until it was about a week ago. She was laying on the bed with me one night, and Kimberly was off at the restroom or something, and I was just looking at her. And suddenly this phrase, this is the one that breaks the curse. And those of you that know the story of her birth, Kimberly was at the store at 2:30 in the afternoon. She returns from CVS, and at 3:50, an hour 20 minutes later, the midwives didn't make it in time. Pillar was born, like, boom, just like that, like, with hardly, like, in comparison to the other children, much less pain in childbearing, right? And so suddenly I'm like, Pillar's birth is a sign and a wonder, the one that breaks the curse, that Jesus came to break the curse, right? The curse of childbearing and the curse of for men, it's the curse of the toil of labor. No more toil. Everybody say that together. No more toil. Together. No more toil. But resting in the love of our Father, we will bear fruit in accordance with his blessing on our lives, not just on the accordance of how hard we can work. Right? The Father has sent his only begotten Son so that the curse of sin and death and all that comes with it would be broken. The Father is bringing forth blessing into our lives because of the one that broke the curse. Galatians 3 says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that whole deal of like, okay, if you obey all the statutes of the law, then you're going to be blessed, and if you don't, then you're going to be cursed. All of us fall in the cursed category, right? We're all cursed because of the law. Every last one of us. Like, who has kept all of that? Please, somebody send me your case of why your life should be a blessed life according to the law. Go ahead. I challenge you. You know, we all fall in the cursed category, but because of Christ, Jesus, who came and took our penalty in our behalf, now I am in the blessed category, and all the blessings of Deuteronomy chapter 28 are my inheritance, and none of the curses are no longer accounted to my life because Jesus is the tree that went into my bitter waters and made my bitter waters into sweet again. Hallelujah. This is our Jesus. You know, all of us have been contending for a long time for breakthrough. Kim and I, we've been here in D.C. for 9 years. And we have yet to see the breakthrough that we believed God for when we first came here. Right? Yet, I do believe that Jesus, the Father sent Jesus to turn bitter waters into sweet. He sent Jesus to break off every curse from our lives that we may live in the blessing of the fullness of his house. From this day forward, I proclaim that every curse over each one of our lives is broken by the blood of Jesus. I proclaim in his name, the bitter waters are becoming sweet. You will see the Father's blessing over your life. Please let these words hit your heart. You will see the Father's blessing over your life, not because you have toiled for it, because Jesus was the one that toiled for it, but because you are caught up in the blessing of remaining in Abba's house. In Father's house, there is every provision of grace, healing, forgiveness. Okay, I just went over this really fast. I'm going to slow down. In Father's house, there is every provision of grace, healing, physical, emotional, forgiveness, freedom, power to do ministry, food, clothes, financial freedom, protection. He is a good Father, turning our bitter waters into sweet. He is turning our curses into blessings. Many of you may have heard about generational curses. There's a generational blessing in the cross, that through Jesus we are grafted in to all the blessings of Israel, all the blessings of Abraham. We are grafted into all of that gear. I am so thankful that karma is not our deal. Karma is comes from Eastern religions that say if you live a righteous life, then you'll get blessed and you'll have good karma. The problem with the whole karma deal is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the problem with all the Eastern religions is if they would get down to the core, the empty pot of their life, they would recognize, I'm hosed by my own belief because I recognize that I have sinned. And I have not kept all of this stuff, right? I'm so thankful that karma is not our deal. So you may have totally messed it up this past week. Maybe some of you, you totally lashed out at your spouse or you may have totally like took something out of your coworker. You were a bad dad or a bad mom or you're a bad son or whatever. And so everything, man, you just really didn't steward your ministry well. Whatever. If we simply go simply by blessing and curses, karma or not, we're all a little bit in the host category. And so the reality is that because of Jesus, Father has opportunity to bless us this week. Generational blessings. Yes, I want those. Amen. Do you want those? Okay. So this past week, I was in the prayer room late at night. I was on night watch. And I'm just going to read to you, and I'm going to end with this. And I think what we're going to do is the invitation and the response today is this. Let's get real. Come to the Father with your empty pot. I'm still getting used to calling him Daddy. You know, I'm still getting used to calling him daddy. Come, like, where are we with Father? Reality is, I feel really bummed about this. I feel really ripped off about that. Like, get to that place of absolute candid brokenness. Like, I thought you were this, and I'm still living this. So, like, whatever. Like, just let's get to the place where we're like, Hannah, and let's begin to watch God change nations from that place as we go there. So I'm going to just read to you what God gave me this past week. And then, actually, Ryan and Becky, you guys can come up now and just kind of play some music in the background. Prophesy with your instrument. Just release the love of the Father through music over all of us here. And you guys, there's this whole thing with God being willing and God being able. Yeah, I believe God can heal me, but is he willing? I would so rather people question my ability than my willingness to be good. Like, there's a building right now in Northeast DC that would be so perfect for Dan and Carol and the ASL community to operate ministry out of, but I need $2.5 million to buy it, right? I don't have the ability to buy that building. But I would never want Dan and Carol to question in my heart that if I had that money today, I would be making that payment tomorrow. Because I so believe in Dan and Carol, and I so believe in the ASL ministry, and I so want to see that ministry flourish and for deaf people worldwide to encounter the love of Jesus and the love of the Father. So if the Father is able, and I believe he is so willing to heal each one of our hearts, heal our bodies, everything, and I just believe that this place being Abba's house, that we're going to see the fullness of everything from his house manifest. Abba, Father, resting in the loving arms of my Father, dwelling in the safety, sheltered in the blessing of living under his roof, drenched, covered, showers of blessings, surrounded by glory, falling into a pool of the goodness of God. Father, our Father, favor, I am his. And he loves me. He is proud of me. I am his greatest treasure, cherished, valued, nurtured, held, blessed. Yes, blessed. Every good and perfect gift showers, showers, showers of blessings. Lavished on me. Heavenly Father, I pray that as I read this, that you would encounter everyone in this room with your love. Love, pure, sure, and secure. How much grace does Abba have in store? Unending tankers of oil. Oils of closeness, tankers, ships of loving care, crossing oceans of agape appearing on my shore, concerned about me. Extra innings just to play, not to win. Free refills, extra time, another bike around the block just for fun. Two, when I only asked for one. More than I could ask or imagine. Fountains of blessings bursting forth as I rest. In the loving arms, the bosom of my Father available to me, exploding with fullness, never-ending supply. Who was it that put the gold in the creeks, the veins of silver in the rocks? Who did that? The oil in the gas. Who was it? Pockets. Pockets of my Father. Loose change. Mr. Deep Pockets. Here, wear my pants. Try them on. Go ahead. Keep it. You found it. Way to go. Father's heart. Daddy. Sugar on my grapefruit. Bitter into sweet. Surrounded by affirmation. You can't miss. You've already won. Let me help you. I'll take that. Here, have some of this. Wired in. Direct connect. balance transfer, a savings account just for me, inheritance, stacks of cash, buckets of coins, true revelation, rooms, hallways, kitchens, full of riches, washed, stinky feet, snotty nose, oops, a Sharpie tattooed my belly again, soap, daddy makes me clean, shampoozled by undivided attention, tears, come here, let me hold you, no need to explain, I can feel your heart, connected, heart level, 2,000 feet deep, there is no one like you. Did you see that? Ah, that crazy kid, I just love him. Boasts about me when he knows I'm listening. But I think that he thinks that I'm asleep. Affirms me behind my back when actually I'm listening and he knows it. Blesses me when I sleep. Covers, I'm cold. Too sleepy to pull up the covers. He does it. And he warms my heart. He carries me to the bathroom. Honors, respects, careful instruction for my good. Choirs of songs singing over me. Smiles, winks, hugs, high fives, pinches that tickle. And tickles that break my pride and fill my love tank to the brim. Tankers of blessing, overflowing. A backup just in case. Spare tire of blessing. Spare tanker of blessing, just in case you need it. Rivers of love, supply and lollipops. Poems, cards, pictures for me. He loves me and he is proud of me. Parades, donuts with dad. He hears me deeper than my words and he loves to talk and listen. For hours he'll listen just to hear me talk. He hangs out with me, family meetings, anticipation, always great surprises, joy bullets. Let me fix that for you. Come with me. Double dessert. What he says, he does. The original promise keeper. You've heard of the persistent widow, but if you met my dad, the unrelenting, unyielding love that never stops asking, seeking, and knocking on the door of my heart, persistent beyond measure. I missed you. It's good to be all here together. Daddy, Abba, Father, Dad. I'm glad I'm his child. He turns mundane into a great adventure. Love display, fireworks, satisfied in every way. Falling asleep with a smile on my face, resting in the loving arms of my Father. A heart that is whole and full of love, at rest, bursting with blessing. He gave that to me. That's the inheritance my dad gave me. A heart that is full and a heart that is whole. I can step out and risk it all. I know my Father's with me. If none other is with me, you still will yet be. You are with me. Here, take the family business. It's yours now, and all of the assets. I give it to you. You can grow it from here. I'll help you. At rest, in the loving arms of my Father. Tidal wave of the goodness of God washes over me. A heart that is whole and a heart that is full. The inheritance Dad gave me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. Earth, at Embassy Church, in each one of our lives, on on earth as it is in heaven. May each one of us live a heavenly life here on earth. May each one of us have heaven manifesting in our life every day. Forgive us of our trespasses, Father. And Father, lead us not into temptation, but Father, deliver us from the evil one. Cleanse us of anything that would take us out of your house, Father. Father, give us this day our daily bread. God, I pray that everyone's hands in this room would be filled with abundance, that they could even provide others' lack with their surplus. Father in heaven, release showers of blessing today, God. Father, bless all the empty pot prayers, the deep heart murmurs of the soul of each person in this room. Bring great healing. Father, bring great healing. Father, bring great healing, Father. Father, turn all the bitter waters into sweet. Father, lead us all in a journey to the core. Lead us all in a journey to the bottom of our hearts that we might find you. I release tankers and barrels upon barrels of the blessing of the Father's love into everybody's life today. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done. I say, for yours is the glory and the honor forever and ever. God, may each one of us be resting under the roof of our Father in heaven. Just resting, just taking great joy in being sheltered underneath your roof, Father. Living in your house. It's good to be in your house, Father. Come forward if you don't know the Father. If you've never met my dad, if you've never met our Father, our dad, if you don't know this Father, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. That today, I want to invite you to come forward and receiving the forgiveness of Jesus over your sins, that the curse of sin and death would be broken off your life, that you would enter into the Father's house for all of eternity. I want to invite you forward today to do that, just to come forward to the altar here and just kneel down at the steps and just give your heart to Jesus, give your heart to the Father. And for the rest of us that know the Father, but today God is leading us to a deeper place and we want to come to him with our empty pots. I want to invite you to come forward to the altar right now and just crack open that conversation with God. Even if it's just the first couple sentences to start the conversation, he'll continue it over the next couple days and weeks. And lead you to a deep place with him. God, we come to you with our empty pots like Hannah. Father, we come to you with our empty pots like Ruth, like David, when he had sinned, wrote, you desire truth in my inmost parts. Here's what's really going on. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. God, like Job, I feel like we've gotten the raw deal. We wait upon you, and we wait for your blessing to return. We come to you with our empty pots today.